Welcome. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Lifecast. This week we'll be featuring Associate Pastor Aaron Broberg sharing a message entitled Counterfeit Hope. We trust you will enjoy the podcast.
Let's read this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "The faith and love that spring from, that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit, growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth." You see, hope is a virtue, is a Christian virtue. It's one of the three that say faith, hope, and love. Well, you know, it's a quality. It's a moral excellence that we need to have in our life. It's a characteristics of Christianity. It's really a general feeling. If you just wanted to break it down into real basics, hope is a general feeling that something you desire or want is about to happen, is about to be released into your life. Is you're about to acquire something, you're about to get something. You know, little boys and little girls have a hope that there's gonna be presents under the tree on Christmas morning, right? The great hope of a young child. Well, I was looking over the word, and Psalms is a great book about hope. If you look at Psalms 52:9, it says, "In your name I will hope." Let me read it here. It says, "I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints." In Psalms, the word hope is used 31 times. That's quite a bit. 31 times they are referencing, the psalmists are referencing their hope in God, or in his name, or in his son, or in his kingdom. They're placing hope in God. See, we talk about having hope. Well, what is our hope for? Most of the thing would say we hope for heaven, right? Our hope is in Jesus dying for our sins, that we can be free from sin and that we can reign in heaven. But sometimes I look at my life and I think I don't do a very good job of displaying or a lifestyle that represents what I hope for. Sometimes my lifestyle does not resemble somebody who lives with the hope that they are about to enter into the perfect kingdom of God, which is heaven. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, that's kind of interesting. Why do we not live the way we believe sometimes? And specifically having to do with hope here. Why do we not necessarily live with hope? Well, I think sometimes our idea of heaven is maybe a little skewed for whatever reason. What is heaven? Anybody, go ahead and just yell it out. What's that? It's God. What is... Anybody else? Give me a definition of heaven. What's going to happen in heaven? All right? We're going to be in God's spirit. Anything else? What's that? We're going to be transformed. Well, how many of you guys know the song Amazing Grace? Right? I think we probably all know the song Amazing Grace. It has had a big impact on what I have thought about heaven as a child. What I have thought about of heaven. We are going to be there. And after 10,000 years, as verse 4 goes, I think it is, we are still, the sun's going to be shining, and we are still going to be singing. And I'm thinking, man, poor God has to listen to me sing for 10,000 years. Because I can't sing. You know, I really can't sing. I'm thinking, this sounds like torture. This is why God created me, to listen to me sing for 10,000 years? Wow, he must really love me. You know, because that's not going to, I don't even want to hear, I'm going to think, oh, can I have some like internal earplugs, please? Because I don't want to listen to myself sing for 10,000 years. Sometimes I think we have this idea that, because trying to form an idea of what heaven is in our human mind is very difficult. So sometimes we get this skewed idea that heaven is the eternal church service. Woohoo! The eternal church service. Now, if I said eternal Packer game, we'd probably get a little more, response. Or the eternal hunting session, or, you know, the eternal deer season, there might have been a little more excitement, or eternal scrapbooking party, maybe there would be even more excitement. But we think sometimes heaven is the eternal church service, where we are going to sing and stand and worship God. Because when we think of worship, lots of times we think of what we just went through. And I'm not diminishing worship. Understand, worship is important. This corporate worship that we went through this morning, that is an important part of the Christian body. It's very important. But it's hard sometimes when we are living in an imperfect world, trying to understand something that is infinitely perfect. And we put ideas, we get ideas in our head what heaven is, which really don't really, you know, yeah, we're gonna worship God. But is it really the eternal church service? You know, that might be okay for some of you. I don't really wanna go to church forever. I don't. How could I sing forever? I don't know that I could sing forever. And I'm thinking about my children's workers. Do you wanna be in nursery care forever? Do you want to be in the toddler class forever? We should maybe go and ask them, you know, if they want to be, you know, in nursery care forever. No, so our idea of heaven sometimes gets skewed. It's hard to really understand. But I was reading a few things out of the Bible. Isaiah 25 talks about a great feast where there's going to be all sorts of meats. It's going to be a party. There's going to be wine. There's going to be drinking. God talks about that. He's not going to drink wine until we're together again. That's why we have communion, to remember him. He's not doing that until we come together. It's going to be a party. And now when you think of like maybe a wedding party, you might think of like a church fellowship with like, you know, a styrofoam cup, drinking some kind of ginger ale with some fruit punch in it. No, that's not the kind of party. Maybe you need to go see, we need to go look into maybe a Jewish wedding that went on for a week-long party. See, the Jewish nation, they had festivals that went on for weeks. Things that happened for a long period of time. They know how to have a celebration. See, heaven's going to start out with a feast. Because the bride is perfect now. And it's a bringing of the bride and the bridegroom together. Us and Jesus together. Us and God together. As one, as God intended. And you can see that. There's lots of different places. You can see that the parable of the virgins briefly talks about that, talking about those who were not ready were not allowed to go into the party, basically. We're not allowed to go into the feast. They weren't allowed to enter into heaven. Matthew 25, 31 actually is a great scripture reference that talks about it. Also, let me turn there. You can turn there if you want. Matthew chapter 25. Couple different parables. The sheep and the goats, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, I'd much rather look at that scripture verse about what heaven is versus the eternal church service. That's saying, hey, I am going to step into the inheritance given to me by the creator of the world. Just like he created Adam and Eve to be in charge and manage paradise, we are going to have help and partake in the creation of the new heavens and the new earth with God. And we are going to manage. He's going to give us responsibility over the new heaven and new earth. I would like to have responsibility over the Rocky Mountains, please. That would be one of my requests. Maybe some streams in Montana. He could give me some trout streams. I like to do some trout fishing. You know, there's a few things. I would like to have a little bit to do with the Aurora Borealis because I really want to know what's up with that because I think it's beautiful, and I've seen it a lot in my life, living up north all the time. I want to know what's up with that. I'd like to be in charge of that section of, if I could somehow get in charge of that, I sure would like to. I would like to maybe have an opportunity to mess around with a couple sunsets, a couple sunrises. I love sunsets, sunrises. But, you know, and I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here, but understand, God is going to give me an inheritance in the kingdom of God. It's not just going to be a worship service or a church service forever. I'm going to come into my own as God created me to be. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to step into an inheritance that God is going to give me. You know, there might be work, but I doubt there'll be toil. I doubt there won't be pain. There will not be suffering. It will be not our concept here on earth. Thank God. We have some troubles here on earth. But we're going to have true freedom to understand and live in God's creation that is unhindered. See, I think even creation, not just us, but creation is under a veil of sin. And we're going to truly see the beauty of his creation when we go to heaven. When we live in that new heavens and new earth. And I won't have to live and struggle with the garbage that hinders me with my relationship with God, with the sin in my life. I'm going to be freed of those things and to understand God for who he is and understand me for who I am. I have that hope. But why do I sometimes not live like I'm about to be, have a place, and have an inheritance of God's creation? Why don't I live? Because I'm about to get there. I'm only 33. But still, in the vast time of eternity, I'm almost there. But yet, I don't always live that way. We don't always live that way as Christians. Because there's somebody named Satan who wants to give us hope in something that is empty. He wants to steal our hope in that future glory with Christ. He wants to steal that hope. And he wants to give us a counterfeit hope. It really is it's the root of our problem with sin is idolatry. Giving our heart to things that give us a hollow hope. Giving our hearts over to false hopes, short-lived pleasures, things that have value here on earth but have no eternal value. So we take those things up. And it gives us, we fill ourselves up with those simple short-term hopes. And we don't step into something that God has given us that is so much more powerful and so much more supernatural. You know, I think, how do I process life when life struggle hits? Because we all live in a sinful world, we're sinful beings, and so we have struggles in life. How do we process life? And I tried to break it down into three different ways that we process life. Three different ways that sometimes we don't go to God with our issues of life. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to come and process those, and almost we don't pour our lives through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we filter lives through other things, things that we place our hope in. You know, it's misdirected hope. We place it in other things instead of our hope that, you know what, I am going to be this. I am going to receive this, and I'm going to live my life according to those principles and not according to the rules of the world. Self-preservation. It's a lot of way that we filter life. We can save ourselves. Self-preservation through medicine or health. We're always trying to extend our life period. Now, I don't want to, you know, die at the age of 30 or 50. I want to live as long as I can. But I know that medicine or exercise or eating healthy is going to get me any longer life. You know, I may actually, you know, feel better about myself. I want to take care of the temple of God, which is who I am, where God resides. I want to honor God by taking care of myself. But you know what? I am not going to live forever, ever through medicine or by exercising more. Because God has told me that I am going to die because there is sin, but I'm not going to die forever. I'm going to live with him in eternity. And sometimes we go to these things to process life instead of going to God. Financial independence. We look at our IRAs and our savings accounts and how much money that we can have, our wealth. And if you know me very well, I'm probably as materialistic as anybody else in the world. I like to have nice stuff. I like to have nice stuff. And I think I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward to what God has given me. But if I am putting my hope in a savings account for my safety, my security, how I can rate myself, or how, you know, that's not gonna cut it. Because if God comes back, that's gonna go away. That's going to be gone. My house, my TV, my Nintendo Wii, all those things, those are for all you younger than 20 or 30, that's going to be gone. All the possessions are going to be gone. Good, I'm kind of sick of my truck anyways, actually. I'd rather like to get rid of that now. But, you know, financial independence is not going to give me safety. If I'm putting my hope in my ability to save money or my ability to accumulate wealth because it's going to take care of generation from generation to generation, instead of teaching them the spiritual principles by which we live and putting my hope in God for his preservation of my family from generation to generation, then I have a misplaced hope. The other category is self-degradation. Addictions to substances or pleasure or chaos or debauchery. People either try to preserve themselves, hope and preservation, or hope that they can destroy themselves quickly. One trying to fight that battle without God and trying to do it on their own, one who's given up the battle without God and has addictions in their life. See, Satan likes to take things that God created for our goodness, for us to enjoy. He likes to twist them. And we think that there's hope in them. And we consume them. And it leaves us empty, but all the more hungry for that satisfaction of hope in a future. Hope, meaning in this life. I'll give you an example, pornography. Something God created between man and woman, and to be intimate together. Something that is special between a man and a woman. He has taken that. Satan has taken that and made it simple, casual. He has made it, he's taken love and replaced it with lust. And people will go after that, searching for love or searching for pleasure, and it'll give them a short-term fix, but leaving them empty and hollow and looking all the more hungry. So they get this addiction, this appetite for lust instead of love. And they've given up on love. And they have this addiction to something that is destroying them. That's just one example. There's so many different things we could do that. You can talk about tangible things like alcohol or drug abuse, or you can talk about intangible things like certain types of attitudes or a way of thinking about yourself or an insecurity that you just try to fix yourself, or you try to find hope in something, in another person or in anything, but you're still left empty because you do not place your hope in God. Or a cause. How do people like a cause? Some of you guys aren't going to like me when I share this one, but global warming is a cause. Going green is a cause. Animals, saving animals is a cause. There's lots of causes out there. Saving rainforest is a cause. You have all these causes, and some of them are not bad. I don't understand that. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we are not. We do not take. How should I say? We're not good stewards of what God has given us here with what He's provided us with here in life. That's not my point. My point is, if I think by buying a different type of light bulb is going to make the world last longer, I don't have any control over that. God created the world, and he will destroy it in his time, and he'll build a new one. I want the new one. We don't have to worry about light bulbs. Well, at least not whether I buy a compact fluorescent or a regular one. Light bulbs are not going to save the world. Light bulbs are not going to save my family. Recycling a can is not going to save my family. I do it because it's being a good steward, but recycling is not going to save my family. Cutting down, you know, having a hybrid car or an SUV, neither one of those in the end are going to save my family, because when Christ comes back, those things, this world is going to pass away, and I'm going to be judged for if I know Jesus or if I don't. If I have a relationship, if my hope is in him, then I am going to go to the party and I'm going to eat some of that good meat. And I'm going to, if it's time to worship, then I'm going to sing. God will plug his ears on my account. He'll make me mute or something. I'll hear, or I'll sing really good. I'm hoping I sing really good. But, you know, we're gonna worship. But I can't wait till I have the new body that I don't have to deal with pain or sorrow or my insecurities. I can see Jesus for who he is. I can live in the earth the way God has created because I see little bits of God's glory every time the sun rises, every time the moon comes up, or a sunset, or a great buck that I can't seem to shoot, or birds, or, I mean, you can, I see it in the green grass. When the dew's on it in the morning and the sun hits it, and it looks like it's just a vibrant green, I think, well, I wonder what that's going to look like when I don't have, we're not living in a sinful world. That's going to be spectacular because it looks good now. And I'm wearing a veil of sin. We're shrouded in a veil of sin here on earth. What does Christ say for us to, how does Christ tell us to filter our lives? Matthew 11:26 says, come to me all who are weary. You've heard the scripture verse a lot from me. And I will give you rest. His burden is light, his yoke. His burden is easy, his yoke is light. He wants to restore us. See, Jesus came and died so that we could have an idea of the restoration that is about to come to us forever. He wants to bring us together with God. He wants us to have relationship with God here on earth so God can display his glory in little bits here, little bits there in our life. Because I've seen some of God's glory in my children. Every once in a while I see it in myself, think, I got that right. Or I happen to be maybe in a church service and God displays his glory and I think, wow, this is awesome. Or I'll see somebody minister to somebody else in the community that goes to my church and I'll say, wow, there's a little bit of glory of God coming out in their life. I pray that that person responds to that glory and they put their hope in God because of what somebody else did, who somebody else was. See, there's glory coming out. John 10:10 says, Satan came to kill us, destroy us, you know, steal everything that God wants to give us. But God came to give us full life, abundant life, right? That abundant life, that's going to be fully revealed when we get to heaven, what that abundant life is. Jeremiah chapter 2, let me turn there. Verse 13 says this. I think this is a great scripture verse. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Have we turned away from God, from the living water, the one who gives us hope in a future? The living water, spiritual life, restoration spiritually with God so that we can live in heaven with him. And we begin to dug our own holes, trying to pour water or create our own pots. Excuse me. Create our own pots. But they're just, we pour water into them. Self-preservation. Self-degradation. A cause that we're fighting for that is more important than our relationship with God. And we try to, we pour water into them. We pour water into them. But they're empty. They just leave us empty. We get more water, we pour more water, but they're empty. See, we need to go to the well that gives life. And that's the well that's going to bring sustenance in our life. That's the well where we can display our glory. Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, it'll be up on the screen if you don't want to turn there. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's a good scripture verse. I could preach a whole sermon on that. Of course, you know, I was just thinking about this. I may not want to sing for 10,000 years, but I probably would like to preach for 10,000 years. You guys are thinking, I don't want to. You preach long enough, Pastor. I consider that our present suffering are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Look at this, verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that if creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the spirits groan inwardly, and wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. I want to be redeemed. I want a new body. I pray that my spirit groans, groans and aches to be free of this sinful life here on earth. I want to see God for who he is, the creator of the moon and the sun and the stars and the planets, the one who has given us the Milky Way and the galaxy, the one who has created my body to work in a magnificent way, the one who has created this world. And I want to see this world as God intended it to be, as paradise. Creation groans. Creation even groans to be released. But not only us, we groan, but I believe creation groans. The rocks want to be released into how they were to be created. The world wants to be as it once was when God spoke it into being. It doesn't want to live under the shroud of sin. And we see it every day. We see it every day that God wants to work in us, that God wants to be released out of us. I have a short video that they're going to play that just shows a little bit about that glory that's eagerly awaiting to be recreated.
Mountain maker, ocean tamer, glimpses of you burn in my eyes. The worship of heaven fills up the skies. You made it all, said let there be. And there was all that we see, the sound of your voice, the works of your hand. You do all things well.
Glory of God. I think it shines through little by little every day in creation, including us. If we will place our hope in Jesus as our Savior, God as our Creator, and that when we die, we will not go to the grave or go to hell. We'll reign in heaven. We'll be created as God wanted us to. We'll live as God intended us to live from the beginning of time. We will live and enjoy the new heavens and the new earth.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty.
Thank you for listening to The Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on The Lifecast.
Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky.